Today we're going to talk about sharing your story. How many of you find it a little bit intimidating, a little bit nerve-wracking, a little bit fearful to just go out there and witness to someone and tell them about Jesus? Okay, a lot of hands. But today we're going to talk about sharing your story. Sharing your story. And that comes in the context of what? What have we been talking about for the last several weeks? We've been talking about bless. So go ahead and put our blessed practices up here. We've been going through these blessed practices, things that we can do to help bring blessing to our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers and classmates, ultimately that they would come to know Christ throughout the process. So we talked about, you don't have to jump right in, but you can begin with prayer. And we made a list, and if you haven't done that, make a list of the people, your relatives, your neighbors, people you know, just so you can pray for them every day. Pray for them to know the Lord. Pray for opportunities. We always begin with prayer because we know that heart change is a work between the person and God. And so always start by talking to the Father and begin with prayer. We talked about listening with care, which really is a way of saying we want to hear their story by asking good questions, paying attention. If I want to hear your story and I really do care, then you're going to be more likely to hear mine when the time is right for that. We talked about eating together, and we already love to eat. Just when we begin to eat together, it's encouraging, and we get to the next level of listening. Serving with love, like the Hope Church was served yesterday, it made a big difference in our relationship with the people there. Same with the people around you and I. Serve when we have an opportunity to serve, and then we can share our story. So why the blessed practices? Why not just jump in and tell them about Jesus? You know, I think that's been done a lot, and sometimes it's really cool because I might meet someone and want to tell them about Jesus, and they're ready to hear it, not because I've had anything to do with that, but God has been preparing them often for years. They've had people praying for them, people listening to them, people caring for them in various ways, and their heart is ready, and I just happen to show up. I've had that happen before, where I just happen to show up, and someone's like right at that moment, ready to cross the line of faith. I didn't do anything. I'm just building on the work of others. But the people that we know, we get to be a part of that long-term cultivating of a relationship. And so the blessed practices help prepare them to want to hear what we have to say. So we want to give good attention to that. In their book, I Once Was Lost, the authors of here, Don and Doug, they interviewed over 2,000 young people who gave their life to Christ. And they wanted to find out, what was that like for you? We often talk from a Christian perspective, how do I lead someone to Jesus? How do I get them, you know, in my relationship to where I can speak to them? But they wanted to kind of take the other side. Let's talk to new believers and say, what was it like for you? What kind of stages did you have to go through in order to give your life to Christ? And hearing thousands of stories, they found some commonality to them. And they describe them in this book as the five thresholds that people cross as they're coming from being far from God until they cross the line of faith. And they describe first the threshold of change. I need first to go from, I've never really trusted a Christian. I've never really had a relationship with a Christian. And that first threshold is learning to trust a Christian. Being able to trust, you know, there's a lot of people out there who don't have a relationship with a believer. And they don't realize that a Christian is someone they can trust. That was their first step to take. And then the next step to take was like, okay, I trust a Christian, but I don't care, to now I'm curious. I'm becoming curious about that. That's interesting. Tell me a little more about it. And then once they move to curiosity, then they need to move from to being open to change. Like, yeah, I'm curious, but I'm me, dude. Don't mess with me, right? To, hey, I'm actually open because I would like to grow. I'd like to learn. I'd like to change. And then from being open to change, they actually move to actively seeking. I've had some of you come to me when your friend gets to this stage. There's a few women in this church who are great at sharing their faith, and I get an email once in a while. My friend just has all these questions. They have all these questions, and I don't know the answers, and we work together on them to come up with answers because your friend has moved to, you know, into curiosity or maybe into seeking, and it kicks your relationship, your witnessing relationship, into a high gear. Like, I got to come up with some answers for this person. And then finally, once they get there, then they become ready. They become ready to repent, ready to believe, ready to really give their life to Christ. When we live out the blessed practices, we get to help our friends move, cross through some of these thresholds. And you know, I think about my neighbor that had moved but lived next to me. I've told you about going on a fishing trip with him and our meal together when we ate together and how that almost became a disaster. But, you know, thanks to that cool little restaurant on the shoreline, we were able to eat together. And all of that and all of my encouragement and all of my friendship and intentionality with my neighbor John was really to just help him cross the first threshold. He's pretty far from God, but I wanted him to know he can trust a Christian. And then he moved, and I was sad. But I also know that God doesn't give up on people. He cares more about John than I ever could, and he's moving him into other people's circle of influence. If they engage in what they're supposed to do, they'll keep moving him along. That's how it works. It's pretty cool to see God just overseeing this whole thing and using us to help our friends take one step at a time. So I finished this book. Would anyone like to read it and pass it along? Ah, one of the people that calls me when you have a friend crossing a threshold. Yeah, so I'm going to give you this book. So you can read that one, keep it moving, and bring it back or give it to a friend so that we can keep learning together and growing in that. But you guys can do this. This is doable. You can use blessed practices to help people take those small steps closer and closer to crossing a line of faith. Last year, I was using some blessed practices with the athletes that I coach and trying to encourage them and bless them in some small ways and create opportunities through that. And one of the things I did at the end of the season was I gave them each a little coupon because the season was ending. I wouldn't see them much, and it was just a Coke with a coach. So they could redeem that, and I'd take them out for a Coke or an ice cream or something. And one guy who did that, we met, and we talked over a Coke and Diet Coke. And we talked over that, so we're eating together, right? And enjoying that time. And he was just telling me that he was a Christian, but had never done anything with it. And how he was ready. He was ready to start really intentionally figuring out what discipleship means. And so we had a great conversation about that. I haven't had a lot of contact with him, but I'll tell you what, he came back this fall so excited about the Lord. Two separate times when the team is eating together, I've seen him stop and pray over the meal in front of all of his teammates. I mean, he's really standing up for his faith, really doing a wonderful job. And it's just awesome. You can do things like that. You can do this. And I'm confident that you can really help do your part in helping people grow. We were talking about this in the pastoral team meeting. I don't see Jeff, but Jeff was telling about a coworker that he's been praying for him, wants to talk to him about his faith, but didn't know how. So once a week, he said, let's eat together. He put the eat into practice. Let's eat together once a week. And then And then before they would eat, Jeff would say, would you mind if I just pray over our meal? So Jeff would pray over the meal. And after 2 or 3 weeks of that, this coworker would start popping into Jeff's office and say, hey, I've got this thing. Would you mind praying over that too? And so now he's bringing prayer requests. And he's, because Jeff was intentional with his blessed practices, they're at a whole new level of talking about spiritual things as he's moving his friend closer to the ultimate blessing of having an eternal relationship with Jesus. You can do this. Take that small step, whatever that next step is, you can do it. So we want them to know, ultimately, God's story. We want our friends to know God's story. What is God's story? God's big story for us. It's sometimes called the gospel, which is just a word that means good news. What is the good news story that we want our friends to know? It's really pretty simple. I just put up a couple of key words. I mean, you could tell it. It might come out differently, but you know God's story. God's story is that God created us all for relationship. He made people, and He made people because He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants there to be a connection. That's why we're relational. He made us to be in relationship, personal relationship with Him. But as we all know, He also made people free, and so they chose not to turn to Him. The first people rejected God. They sinned, and that created an insurmountable barrier between them and God. It separated us from God. We don't have a personal relationship with God. We're a planet of lost people. And the barrier between us and God is now absolutely insurmountable. You can see people trying to cross that barrier and find God. There are religions all over this world that's the only reason they exist. People know we're supposed to have a connection with God. How do we do that? All kinds of religious systems. It's kind of like if I were to go stand on the edge of the Grand Canyon, you know, and I go stand on the edge of it, and relationship with God, God's on the other side. And I know if I jump toward God, I'll just fall to my death. I don't have a chance. Religious effort is kind of like me thinking, if I just get a running start, then I can go a little bit further. But it's still just as ridiculous because I can't overcome my sin. It's an absolutely insurmountable gap, which leaves us helpless and in need of someone else to come and save us. Jesus came to save us. He came and died on a cross. He served, He taught, and He died on a cross to pay the penalty for my sin, to pay the death penalty that my sin deserved. He paid it so that I could be free. That's why people say that I'm washed by the blood of the Lamb. That's a weird thing to say, and all it means is that Jesus' death washes away my sin, takes it away, removes the stain. Some have said that they can imagine the cross became a bridge, and I'm invited to walk across that bridge back into relationship with God in total security and safety on what Jesus did. That's pretty awesome. It doesn't mean we're all over there on the other side. It doesn't mean we're in relationship, but we have an opportunity now. There's a way, there's one way through the death of Christ, and stepping on that bridge means I'm depending on it. I'm trusting it. That's how we receive eternal life. I depend on Christ. I admit that I need Christ to save me. I need His forgiveness. So I confess my sin, and I just ask, will You forgive me for my sin? Would You make me part of Your family? And I step out on faith. And that's our salvation. And we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is God's story. That is our good news. And it's awesome good news to us because we know Christ. It's awesome good news to us because our lives have been changed. Our neighbors, our coworkers, are they familiar with that story? Do they know that about them and God? Some do. Some have heard it. Some have read it. Some have had that story thrown in their face. That's how they feel. Some have heard that story and just don't feel like it's really for them. Some maybe never have heard God's story. But do you know what they might be interested in hearing? I think people in your circle of influence might be interested in hearing your story. The Apostle Peter wrote, 1 Peter 3, "In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord, and always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have." And we do this with gentleness and respect. People might not be ready to respond to God's story, but they would be interested in hearing yours. Why have you stepped out on that bridge? How did that impact you? What is your story? What's your experience with God? What is your experience with forgiveness? How have you experienced it? I think our friends want to hear that story, especially when we've been blessing the socks off of them. They're like, why are you doing this? Why are you treating me with such kindness? Tell me your story. You've been listening to mine. What's your story? I want to give you confidence because I truly believe when you put these practices into place, the people around you will want to hear your story. They want to know why. They want to know what's different about you. When the Apostle Paul got the opportunity to stand before a king, King Agrippa, in Acts 26, he told the king, "Hey, this is what my life was like. I was a bad guy. I was out persecuting Christians and all this stuff. Then I met Jesus. Here's how I came to know Christ. Here's what happened. And this is what my life is like now, as I have a personal relationship with Jesus." And what Paul did right there is a great model for us. It's a great example for us that we can use as you and I think about how do we tell our story. We can think about this before, what, and after format. You know, what was your life like before you met Jesus? What was it like to meet Jesus? Why did you choose to give your life to Christ and trust Him? What happened? How did that happen? And then how's your life different now? Now, how many of you were saved before you were like 8 or 9 years old? Right? I can relate. So we're looking at that going, what was my life like before I met Jesus? Well, I was playing with toys, right? What's our story? Sometimes I've wondered, because some people who get saved later in life, they tell these incredible stories of, man, I was chasing this crazy sin and doing this thing and trapped in this addiction also, and then Jesus brought radical change to my life. How radical was the change to me as a 5-year-old when I trusted Christ for salvation? Do I even have a story worth telling? If you've encountered God, the Almighty God of the universe, who reached down and captured you, you have a story worth telling. You have a story worth telling. I mean, one of my stories, I've had a lot of different ways that my relationship with God's impacted me. So I have a lot of different ways I can tell my story. One of them was, I was 5, and I had a mom and dad who loved me. I knew what family was all about. So when I heard that God loved me perfectly, that God wanted me in His big family, I was like, yeah, I'm in. I want to be in your family. And so I asked God to forgive me for my sins and make me part of His family. And it's been great, because since then, I've lived my life knowing I'm accepted by God. I'm in God's big family. When I go through a rejection or a hard time in my life, it's okay, because I'm never outside of God's love. Never outside of God's family. There's my story. How long did that take? Pretty simple. Before, how, or why, and after. You can tell a story too. I've actually got other ones as well. At different times in my life, I've taken time using this format to just write it out. Write out a simple little story, something short, true, and conversational. I wrote out one, and I found some of them. In fact, when I was in China, I was telling my story to someone, and for some reason, I told this story about how I had a time when I had a really debilitating, pinched nerve right in the middle of my head. I mean, it was awful. For about 4 years, I thought, I can't live with this pain. But, you know, I knew about Christ, and He knew pain. He understood my pain. He understood my suffering. God could relate to me, and I prayed, and I trusted, and I walked with Christ. And then God brought healing in His time, just at the right time. Just at the right time, He, with surgery, brought healing to me. And I had a whole new start on life because God cares about me. That's part of my story. It was easy to tell, quick, conversational. I do also remember even, I think maybe the first time I wrote this out, I was in high school and I was thinking back to my childhood. And I remember real clearly remembering when I was a little kid this idea that what if the good things that I've done aren't more than the bad things that I've done? What if in the end when God weighs those scales, He goes, you know what? You were close. You're right on the cutoff line, but found a couple more bad attitudes and negative things than good things. So sorry, buddy, you're out. You're going to hell. I mean, I remember thinking that when I was a kid, like, oh my gosh, I think I'm pretty close, but what if I fall short? And I didn't realize, and learning God's story helped me realize I'm totally short. I have no hope, but Jesus' good is something I can count on. Because the good that Jesus accomplished outweighs all the bad I could ever do. So I'm going to trust His good and know that I have security. That's my story. And then I had this sense of, oh, I don't have to worry about this stuff. I can literally just rest in Christ. And that's life. I just can enjoy Jesus because I know He saved me. Simple story, true story, and I can share that with anybody in a conversation. What's your story? Your assignment, one of your assignments, is to write down your story. I actually have some little worksheets. They look like this. They're on the front table. If you want a worksheet, it's got a little before, how, and after section, and it's just got some ideas in there for you to help you think. You can grab one of those off the table on your way or just think about it. But it's helpful to write it down because you have to make sure it's less than 100 words. If it's longer than that, it's a monologue. I went through evangelism training years ago, and I learned this gospel presentation, and it was really good. It had scripture and it had illustrations and it had all these things in it. It took 30 minutes to say, if you didn't interrupt me. And it was designed to be used on a visitation. I'd go to your house, I'd sit down in your living room, Bud and I'd be having this conversation. But you know what, I'd like you to really not, just don't interrupt me, right? Okay, don't talk. Because I have something to say. It's going to be totally natural if you'd shut up for 30 minutes, right? That's what it was. And I'm like, this doesn't work. I mean, this is weird. We have conversations with people, right? We don't just tell, we listen and we interact. And so a short, less than 100 words, tell your story of how you interacted with God's story, boom, and then you're ready to share. You're ready to share your story and people want to hear it. And it'll be helpful in leading your friends to Christ. So write out your story less than 100 words and then start to practice it. If you have little kids, even babies, practice it on your kids, right? If you have a spouse, practice it on them or with a friend. If you get into a small group in a couple weeks, practice telling your story. It only takes a minute or less. It's just a quick little conversational thing. But just practice it a little bit so that you can be prepared, as Scripture calls us to be, to tell the stories our friends want to hear about you. Our friends are interested. We often fear, what we fear is usually worse than reality, right? In life, and especially when it comes to sharing our faith, I'm so afraid that people are going to reject or get angry or ask some question I don't know the answer to, or, you know, or think of me badly. We're so afraid of this stuff, but the reality is people would love to talk about these things as long as we're still kind and not judgmental of them. People are interested. We have the other cross-country coach, Dustin, and I invited our team to come see the Overcomer movie that's in theaters. And we said, it's a faith-based movie, but how often do you get to see a movie about cross-country in the movie theater, right? So come join us. And we had 22 student-athletes show up and watch this movie together with us the other day. And in that movie, if you haven't seen it, they presented the gospel with clarity in a beautiful way. It was awesome. And we're just sitting here thinking, how cool is this? That God would use their interests to bring them right into this place of hearing God's story because they're interested in us. Because we've invested and there's a friendship, a relationship. Your friends, your neighbors, have more interest in hearing this than you think. You can do this. You can share with them. Another way you can do it, kind of like what we did, is if someone else is going to share their testimony, bring your friend with you, and they get to hear God's story from someone else, like at the movie. Next Sunday is designed just for that. We're going to have the Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge Choir here. These are young people who are struggling through addiction and coming to Christ. So their stories are fresh and real. And I'll tell you, if you haven't heard this choir, and they'll sing a song, they'll share a testimony, they'll do another song, share a testimony. It's awesome to hear their encounter with God. And so you can bring a friend. Say, hey, you want to hear a bunch of recovering addicts singing in church Sunday? Well, yeah, that sounds crazy. I'll come and hear that. I mean, bring your friends. It's interesting. And they'll come and they'll hear, let them hear someone else share their story. That's another way you can do that. And that might lead to you sharing yours with your friends. You can do this. I would love to see this room absolutely packed. I'd like to stand in the hallway because I can't get in next Sunday. It's designed. The only reason I'm bringing this choir, it is not for me. I saw them once. It's not for you. It's for our friends. It's for our coworkers. It's for the people on our blessed list. Will you bring them? Will you invite someone on your blessed list to come Sunday and hear this choir? Hear these testimonies? That's why we're doing it. So I want you to really seriously do that, okay? And let's fill this place so that we can have God's story and people's interaction with it being told. That's what we want to do. Your friends actually want to hear it. I want to just close this service and the Blessed series with a couple of scripture passages. I just want to read them and allow God's word to just kind of come in and fill your heart to encourage us and maybe challenge us and to give us hope. The first passage God laid on my heart in this was just Matthew chapter 5, as Jesus reminded his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it up on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works, your good deeds, and glorify your Father in heaven. That's our blessed practices. When we serve, when we listen well, people are experiencing our good to them, and we're pointing them to the Father. What if you did bless part way? What if you prayed for people? If you listened to them? If you ate with them? If you even served them and then you stopped because you got afraid? Do you know what would happen if I did that? People would look at me and they would say, "What a nice guy. Man, he showed up and helped me do this stuff. He helped me move this thing that was too heavy. He's listened to me and encouraged me. What a nice guy." Can I save them? Can I wash away the sin that separates them from their Creator? What in the world would it benefit anybody to think that I'm a nice guy? I like it when people think I'm a nice guy. But it doesn't do a thing for them. It actually glorifies me. This last piece, when I tell my story, is the time when they see my good works and I get to tell them exactly why. Because God changed me. God saved me. God gave me hope. And I can point them to Christ. So make sure we finish all the way through. Two other quick verses. One, both in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul said, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." As we put our focus and our heart on people coming to Christ, we'll make more and more out of the little opportunities God gives us to influence them, to encourage them, and to point them to Jesus. And finally, Paul said, "Pray for me." This is bold Apostle Paul saying, "Pray for me that whenever I speak, words might be given to me, so I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel." Pray for each other too. We need to encourage each other and help each other. Next Sunday with the Teen Challenge Choir will be a good part of that, where we can encourage each other, because we need to be bold, folks. We need to be bold. We've spent a lot of time investing in our relationships. Let's step it up with intentionality and be bold to point our friends, neighbors, and coworkers to Christ, the source of true hope, the source of life, of grace, of forgiveness, of eternal life. So keep working. We want to become, our goal is that we at BEFC would become a conversion community. We don't necessarily just want to grow as a church because someone goes, "Well, let's see, I've been going to one church. I think it's just time to check out another." We don't just want to attract other Christians. And we're serious about that. We're not trying to attract other Christians from other churches, and we don't really get them from other churches. If we wanted to do that, we'd have a better building than someone else. We'd have bigger and better programs than someone else. And that's where our focus would be, but that's not our focus. We're investing in our community because we want to introduce lost people to Jesus. I want our church to grow, but I want our church to grow because people are coming into a relationship with Christ through our witness, and we're growing that way. Then we're truly on track with why we're here, with our purpose as a church. Are you with me on that? I already know you are because you're sitting here in a school auditorium with me talking about blessed practices. But I want to hear it. Are you with me on that vision? Are you with me to reach our community for Christ? Are you willing to live out the blessed practices to the people in your circle of influence, so we can bless them with the ultimate blessing of a relationship with Jesus? All right. That's something I'm excited about. Let's do it together. Keep encouraging each other. And let's just take a second to give that to the Lord. Father, we want to do this. We want to do this. We want to do it really well. We believe that's why we're here. It's why we're right here in Becker. It's why we're in this church. It's why we live in the neighborhoods we live in and work in the places we work in. Because that's where you want people to taste and see that the Lord is good through us. Help us, Lord, to finish this, to tell our story, our short little testimonies of what it was like when we encountered your big story. Help us to do a great job of pointing people to Jesus. And we just pray that you'll save our friends, that you bring salvation to our neighbors. Even the coworkers that are hardest to get along with, we want to bless the socks off of them so they would meet Jesus and be forever changed. Lord, we love you. We want others to experience that too. Thank you so much for this beautiful church, for the hands that serve so well, for the hearts that pray so well, for the ears that listen so well. Lord, thank you for all the good that you're going to do as we turn this intentional corner into our fall ministries of really, really focusing in on our friends and neighbors, co-workers and relatives. We're excited to see what you're going to do. And we give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.